conversations. We're playing for sheep stations. What used to be footy friends and fun, and now that Dino has come and gone, we're playing for sheep stations. We're playing for sheep stations.
Thanks for that, Ryan fucking Pappenhausen. 11 against the Dragons. Thanks for that, Payne Haas. I enjoyed owning you for 11 minutes of game time this season. Thanks for that, Samuel Afainu, pulling out your best performance when you're riding my pine, 112 points. There's plenty more, but let's just get on with it, I think. Otherwise, I'm going to start to sound like Guardsy. I don't want to be angry. Joining me tonight, only Mark. How are you?
Happy to be here, as always.
As always. How did you go last week?
Well, before we get to last week,
okay,
we hit the highs the week before, and I wasn't here to celebrate. So after the highs of 1584, it was a brutal reality check this week. So I scored 1,161 points this week. So a few red arrows, 650 red arrows, down to 7,084th position overall. So like you, I bought in Payne Haas, so... Fuck the Broncos. Yeah. Guardsy's not here. Someone's got to fill that role. Fucking Broncos.
Dean Mariner. Corey Oates. Ezra Mann. Rhys Walsh. Name them.
Yeah, but I did bring Valentine in and VC looped old Val. And with Joey Lussick jagging a try, my AE ended up being Paul Pierce.
I did it.
35, so, but I still was 40 or 50 to the good. With the loop, so...
And with about 10 minutes to go, you were looking very to the good.
I know. And then Cleary scored a try. You blokes were carrying on with the C on Cleary for him to do something, and I was sitting there death riding him, to be honest.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy you are.
It is, I know.
Well-cooked Angus scored 1197, so a few more than yours. I still saw 51 red arrows, dropping down to 10,370, as they say, if you're not inside the 10... Top 10,370, what are you doing? So, still riding high on that one. Just an ordinary week saved by Val and a very late Nathan Cleary try. Otherwise, it was a really ordinary... I mean, my man Max Plath, he did a good job this week, and I was pretty excited to see him set up a try. Scored one, too.
Scored a try. So, crashed over from dummy half.
That was really good, but teamless Tuesday, Mark, it has thrown up a couple of curveballs. A lot we knew... were happening, a lot we thought might happen that didn't happen, but I didn't see one Eli Katoa. I didn't even hear anything of a sore knee or anything like that. So maybe he had the same case of the French pole vaulter and it just hit him in the knee. Did you see the French pole vaulter?
I did, yeah.
I heard a story that his Instagram following went from 5,000 to about 55 overnight.
Have you seen the still of it?
Yeah.
That'll be his Tinder Tinder profile for years to come,
if
I imagine.
If it's not his, it'd be mine. Any single men, steal it. All right, Mark, Teamless Tuesday. Hit us with the good, the bad and the ugly.
Yeah, well, the ugly starts in that first game, as you mentioned. Souths and the Storm Thursday night, 7:50. Cody Walker has been named to return, but he's an old man and he's got a calf injury. I'm an old man. I've had calf injuries. They tend to linger. I'm not sure a week on the sidelines is going to be enough for him. And even if he does play, there's a pretty good chance that he pings it again. Dean Hawkins has been named at 18th man as cover, but he himself, I think, hasn't had a game back from his quad injury. So they've dropped the young bloke. Can't remember what his name is. Dion.
Was it Taupe or something?
Yeah. Anyway, he's on the extended bench. But the other change is Jacob Host drops out of the team. Probably...
for the good.
Yeah. Not before time. But Michael Cheekam goes into the second row. I would have thought Talis Duncan might have got a start in the back row there. Anyway. For the Storm, Kamikamika named to return from injury. Big Nelson Asofa Solomona moves to lock. Liero to the back row for Eli Katoa, who is out with a knee injury.
Just so, looking at his ownership, 78% of the top 5% own Eli Katoa. So in a week where you've got the Chooks on a bye with heaps of them out, Eli Katoa going down, Payne Haas missing out, any other... There was... So Ronaldo's still out from last week, and possibly if you're a Pappenhausen owner, some fires to put out there. It's a bit of a tough week to scrape together 17, but...
Well, a decent 17 anyway. So moving on to Friday night, the early game at 6 p.m. is the Titans up against the Sharks. Speaking of a team struggling to get 17 on the park, I think it is the Sharks this week. But starting with the Titans, Cleese Haas is in for both Furmore, who suffered a bruised kidney apparently, which surprised me because they were up against the Broncos, who hardly stuck a tackle last week. So
I think he bruised his kidneys in the celebrations. Ah, too many beers.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, that would explain it then. AJ Brimson is listed as 18th man, but the way Kinney played, surely he would have to be a nutty professor, wouldn't he, Des, to bring Brimson back in ahead of Kinney at this point, I imagine.
The only way I can see that working is it's a four-forward bench, I'm pretty sure, so if he takes one of those forwards off the bench and puts Brimson on, and Brimson might come through the middle scheming at some point, Chris Randall style, I don't know.
Possibly. Possibly. For the Sharks, Trindle is out with a bung hamstring. So Blake Brayley goes to halfback. Cameron McInnes moves up to hooker. Jack Williams to lock. That brings Guardsy's man Jaden Beryl onto the bench for his second NRL game. And Tom Hazelton also comes onto the bench for Braden Hamlin Ueli. But they really are struggling at the minute in the halves, the Sharks, aren't they? So be interesting to see how that goes, where they can get their points against the Titans. We certainly know the Titans can score them.
I'll need to score a few. So the high-flying good draw of the Sharks that we predicted for the last bit of the season hasn't quite panned out, with the halves going down, Mulatalo going down. So, not as easy as we thought with them.
No. So then the second Friday night game is the Battle of the West. Parramatta up against the Penrith Panthers at the Panthers' soon-to-be home ground of CommBank Stadium. The only change for Parramatta, who surprisingly got back in the winner's circle last week, is Matt Dory onto the bench for Luca Moretti. And for the Panthers, only one change as well. Dane Laurie returns at fullback after missing last week with a concussion. It looks a pretty juicy game for Nathan Cleary, doesn't it?
Yep. Yeah, it does. And if you've got any Panthers, so if you bought in McLean, if you bought in Tungo, he looked all right last week. I think Brian To'o, I think the back rowers might be a shout. I think anyone.
Centres and wingers from the Panthers, Parramatta just can't defend there. So play them with reckless abandon.
Yeah. Bloody oath. Could be a game that Jerome Luai actually carves up as well.
Could be, yeah. So Saturday's games kick off at 3 p.m. with the Raiders up against Manly down in Canberra. Ethan Strange returns after getting Ricky Stewart rest last week. But interestingly, the man who came in for Strange last week, Cook, has moved to the bench with Danny Levi dropping out.
So that's good for AE purposes if you're a Levi owner.
Yeah, and I think a few people might have jumped on the Canberra hooker Starling.
He's killing it.
When he was pretty cheap, he's rocketed up in price as well. So you expect he'll play big minutes again. I mean, Levi's only been coming on for 10 minutes at the end of the game anyway, Joey Lussick style. So.
And Starling's a heaps better super coach player for his productivity.
Yeah, yeah. For Manly, Saab and Garrick have both been named, returning from their head knocks a couple of weeks ago. They had the bye, so that's assisted there, although they mainly insisted that Garrick wasn't concussed. But anyway, I think the video showed a different story. But they're back, and Lehi Hopewate returns from his facial fracture on the wing as well. Interesting selection here was Carl Lawton keeping his spot in the second row. And
he's been very good defensively.
And Ben Trbojevic goes to the bench. So that was an interesting one from my perspective.
Yeah, but he held David Fifita really well. And then who'd they play the following week? He held another pretty good back rower defensively. Was it Kickout?
Did they play? They played the Roosters in that time.
It might have been Roosters too. Yeah, it was Angus.
Yeah. I think big news for Manly, though, is Lachlan Croker back at hooker after missing a fair chunk of the season with, I think it was head and a neck injury. Yeah. So
nerve
he got damage. A concussion and then as part of that, I think, had a neck injury out of that. And everyone's favourite, Oshae Olay, is out of the team. I think he might have had hurt feelings after his social media outburst against Joe Offahengawi, allegedly copping a feel of DWZ. So similar to the Rainbow fiasco last week, I think a man touching another man might have left a bad taste in Josh's mouth, and he's unable to play this week. So anyway,
in that game, Hosking's also out, been out.
Hosking,
ruled out for the seasons, going for surgery. So that if you're an Adam Mariotta owner and you need to fill a spot this week, congratulations, you've hit the jackpot. Olakau'atu back as well after his Origin suspension.
But that Hosking injury is probably not bad news for next year. You imagine he'll take that
Whitehead
back row spot that Whitehead will vacate. So if he
you should get him in a discount. Low
scores, keep his price down to kick off next year. So there's one to keep an eye on for next year. At 5:30 on Saturday evening, we got the Cowboys up against the Broncos up there at North Queensland. So the big brother Cowboys looking to be the latest team to pick on the tiny little brother of the Broncos and cement their spot as the shittest Queensland team. So
that's what they are at the moment.
They are, I know.
Last out of the four. Which,
yeah. Mercilessly picked on. The Dolphins get their chance in a couple of weeks, but it's the Cowboys this week. It's a shame that Garty's not here to return serve, really, isn't it?
Hey? Almost seems unfair.
For the Cowboys, Cotter returns from a head knock that pushes Harrison Edwards to the bench, and he replaces Jake Granville, who's done a pec injury. Lukey has been named in the back row despite having his head almost knocked off his shoulders by Justin Olam last week. So I think there was another one that the Cowboys sort of said that he wasn't concussed, but he didn't come back. They said he didn't fail his HIA, but he didn't come back on. Anyway, interesting. That's probably it for the Cowboys. For the Broncos, well, they're in a world of hurt, so no Haas. Ezra Mamm, they say, is potentially gone for the season as well with a syndesmosis injury. Willison named to start in the front row, Rogers in the halves. It's an interesting bench with Tristan Saylor named on the bench, which would suggest that old Reesey will spend a bit of time at 5'8", like he did last weekend.
Was Carapani named as well?
Carapani has replaced Corey Oates. I actually wrote down here thinking Guards would be on. I was saving some good news for him for the end. That Corey Oates had been dropped and Carapani named to replace him on the wing.
Is Dean Mariner named?
Yeah, Dean Mariner's named. So Jesus. I can't soothe that hurt for him. But
he's a very bad defensive centre. He's probably likely to come and play in the 3 or 4 jersey at Parramatta next year. His
defense
is so good. So, although he's too fast to be at Parramatta.
Then the last game on Saturday night, 7:30 at Kogra. Be a good game, this one, after last weekend, I think. The Dragons up against the Bulldogs.
As long as the Dragons fans can get out alive if the Doggies win.
Well, it's at Kogra, so
they'll travel.
Yeah, they do.
There'll be a kebab shop down there in Kogra.
So both teams are the same. No changes. Same 17s as they trotted out last week. Dragons upset the Storm, and the Dogs ruined Josh Papali'i's 300th out there at Belmont.
Now, did you think at the start of the year those words had come out of your mouth?
No.
The Dragons versus Bulldogs should be a good game.
No, I certainly did not. I expected that perhaps this might be a battle of, teams in, say, the 14th 15th, to 17th sort of slot. But no, both currently sitting in the 8th.
So don't worry, Tigers fans and Eagles fans, there's a chance.
There's a chance
for next year because
hope lives eternal. I believe it's sold out already too at Kogra. So sold out last night. So good game. Moving on to Sunday's games. We've got the Dolphins up against the Warriors at 2 o'clock up at Suncorp Stadium. Tapita Pangai Jr. and Cody Nikorima, both named after missing last week. Jermaine Asako has been named, which is possibly a bit of a saviour for a few super coaches, or a lot of super coaches who still have him.
I did see on the NRL physio it was just a run-of-the-mill sprain, and yeah, with a bit of work you'd be able to work that out.
Garden variety ankle sprain. And it seems no one does them anymore.
No, the old-fashioned egg on the outside of the foot for a couple of days and then walk it out kind of thing.
Yeah. And then for the Warriors, RTS moves into the centres. Ed Cozy onto the wing. That's the only change. Interestingly, Dylan Walker, who failed a HIA in that game last Friday, has been named to start in the lock jersey, number 13. Presumably the long turnaround from Friday night to a Sunday game has helped him there, but he failed a HIA and didn't come back on last week, so... Anyway,
you can make dispensations if they hit certain milestones over a certain number of days.
Yeah,
because I think Turbo did it last year, and I'm not sure about the others, but yeah, it's an interesting one.
Mm. And then rounding out the weekend, we've got the Knights up against the Tigers, 4 o'clock Sunday up at McDonald Jones Stadium here in Newcastle. The only change for the Knights team that actually ran out last weekend, not the Knights team that was named, is Brody Jones comes onto the bench for Thomas Cant, who I was watching the news tonight, and it was a real throwback to the olden days. Thomas Cant played a full game of New South Wales Cup on Sunday, and then whichever Saifidi it was went down in the warm-up, and he had to jump in and back up in first grade as well. So it was a real... And
whoever played 18th man had played half a game, and they were apparently in their civvies or in their team gear, like their tracksuits, ready to get on the reserve grade bus to come home, and they had to drag them off. Empty the bus, get the bags back out.
Hope he had a can in his hand too, just quietly.
Imagine that. Durry and a drink.
For the Tigers, Adam Dewey named back in the centres. I think they're just managing him after his 58th knee injury. He comes back in for the suspended Justin Olam, who I believe they're sending Olam off for knee surgery now that he's suspended. So he's been carrying that.
Did you know Adam Dewey's only 25?
Is that right?
I'm pretty sure. I looked it up the other day. I thought he was old.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm very surprised.
There you go. And Aiden Caesar returns at halfback for Latu Fainu, who suffered a head knock last week.
Sorry, 26.
26. Oh, well, all the difference that 1 year. He's an old man.
He's running on old men's legs.
Yeah, correct. And Fanua Pole onto the bench there for the Tigers. So that is Team List Tuesday.
All right, thanks, mate. It's a long one this week because there is quite a bit to digest in some pretty popular teams. And no... Chooks makes it a little bit difficult. I think there's a few teams that are a bit skinny. We're all a bit skinny on trades, as we'll discuss a little bit later. But I think...
About to get skinnier.
Yeah, I was listening to something, and I've heard that quite a few of the guys in the top 100 are down to one trade, no trades already. So I think if you're around that 10,000 mark and you've got a few trades, which I don't, but if you do, I think you can make quite a bit of ground if you're sensible about your trades. Like... Hindsight's a great thing, but the Haas trade last week, I didn't use my mantra. I didn't need to make it. I wanted to make it. And I should have gone back to, you know, so now I've thrown that out, and you'll see in the trades that I'm just wanting to trade now, and I'm going down the Guardsy road because who gives a shit? Okay, we're not going to do angry fans because no one does it quite like Guardsy, but if it was Guardsy, he'd be angry.
I imagine there'd be a few fuck the Broncos.
Yeah, soft vaginas. Yeah. There'd be a fair bit of that going around, so... And probably,
they got pumped and he wasn't happy with the refereeing. Yeah,
I don't think the refereeing was the problem.
No.
But, yeah, there's been some decisions on the referees. Like, they're knock-ons. Like, it's just an absolute disgrace. And what I don't like is the referees now trying to go places. Well, you can challenge. Like, shut up. Just let them do it.
Just do your job properly.
Yeah. So... and is it Grant that finds the camera?
Yeah, Grant.
Geez, he did a good job. Yeah. He found the camera beautifully in that game. So, all right, we're going to go straight to questions, and Dom's got a couple. It's a shame because one of them is a real doozy, and I think there would have been some smoke and some head shakes. But it's going to be lost on Mark and I because we'll probably give you a serious answer to a dumb question. This isn't a dumb question, though. Is it worth holding all your Roosters if you can field a squad using low-scoring options like Willison and Sam Hughes? It's a tricky one because most people and most teams that I've seen that are inside the top 10, 15,000 have a number of Roosters because they have been the pick of the bunch, so to speak. Like, you've probably got Terrell May, Crichton, Watson.
Tedesco, Dom Young.
You could have Manu, you could have Sam Walker. Like, they're the ones that you could genuinely have. Not all of them, obviously, but you could have four or five of them, which means your squad's down to 20 with a couple of injuries, a couple of nuffs to free up some cash. It's going to be tricky to field 17, particularly if you don't have trades and you haven't really thought this far through. If you can field 17, Dom, with Willison and Sam Hughes, I'd be doing it this week because they're in low upside positions anyway. And with our main man Payne Haas out now, there's really only a couple of front rowers that I think can go huge. I think Cotter's one this week. I think he could go quite well up there against the Broncos. I think Tarpane is always not a risk, but he's always one of those guys that could go.
Started to offload again.
Barnett against the Dolphins could be another guy that could go well. And
Very expensive though.
And Adam Fanua-Blake. Like, if you've got a few of those, and then you've got to fill it, or you've got to fill in the rest with either Willison or Hughes, or play Willison Hughes, I'd just be playing him this week and not wasting a trade in that spot. If you've got Payne Haas,
yeah,
I'd clearly be trying to make a move. I don't know if it'd be a move to bring a front rower in. If I didn't have Tarpon, I'd probably just go that straight swap. Even though it costs you a few bucks now with us scoring 18 on the weekend and losing some money. But just get 17 out there, Dom, and don't worry too much about trades.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you want to replace those Roosters, you've got to think, who are you going to replace them with? You want them to be better scoring players. Otherwise, you're just going to want to get those Roosters players back in.
I think with the uncertainty of Dom Young's injury, I can imagine if you don't have a Carras and you've got a few trades, I'd probably go Dom Young to Carras.
Yep.
Because I think that's going to be a reasonable trade. Or you could take a bit of a flyer if you don't have Lomax or if you don't have Val. Like, that's probably where I'd be looking.
Yep.
That's probably the one that I'd be looking to get rid of. I think now what a difference a week makes. Terrell May was one of the most heavily sold players, but what you wouldn't have given to keep Terrell May over Payne Haas in that move last week. And if you had Terrell May, you'd just be keeping him for the run home just because it seems like one injury and he's going to get big minutes. And we knew that, but we were kind of still throwing them around like they were stolen, the old trades last week. Dom's second question. How many nuffs is too many? I have three with six trades left. The unfortunate thing is Dom's got no cash. He doesn't own Tarpane. He's looking to upgrade one of those other two front rowers that he spoke about in Willison or Sam Hughes. He already has AFB and Fainu, so I wouldn't be doing that. That's not where I'd be looking. I think you said before, where are your nuffs? If you've got three, you've probably got...
Well,
he hasn't got one in the front row because his front row is Willison, Hughes, AFB and Fainu. So he must have...
Maybe he's got a hooker. Maybe he's got a...
Yeah.
Possibly. Two RF and a centre.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's got two in the centres. Who knows?
But... So I think you could probably add one more. I think you could add one. If you want to add enough, I'd probably add it in front row.
Yep.
I'd make it a dual position one so that I've got some flexibility. But I don't know if I'd upgrade to Tarpane or do something like that. Just don't know. Yeah, it's interesting, Dom. I can't give you a straight answer to that. It's hard to know without knowing what your team looks like. But I don't think you'd want too many more than four nuffs because of what I've highlighted before. If you had four nuffs and four roosters, there's eight players out. Mm-hmm. You're already in a fair bit of trouble before injuries and everything else. You're in a good position with six trades. I think you're ready to strike with six trades. I think you can use them really sensibly in pretty high upside positions and chase some good matchups, some high upside matchups. So that's my thoughts on that one. What do you think, Mark?
No, I agree. Six trades, front rows probably, having said that, I'm making a front row trade this week. But
yeah, only because you have Haas.
Yeah, only because I have Haas. If you don't have to, it's probably not a position that you'd be looking to use one of those six trades in.
I can understand why you'd get Tarpane because he plays every game. He's probably going to bust out a 70 average
and he's going to be pretty solid. But who else did he have?
He's got AFB and he's got Fainu. If you really want to, you could save a trade for AFB to Tapene in the last week, or AFB to someone via Jules in the last week.
Yeah.
To use that money to try and really drive it home in that last week. That's probably what I'd do. I'd just run those guys. Well, Fainu's got a buy to come as well. But I think he can play Willison now that he's going to... He's got to benefit with more minutes.
Yeah.
Like, he has to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'd be keeping my powder dry there and I'd be trying to make moves somewhere else. Now, this is the question that would have got Guardsy fuming. He says, I need cash. Has Cleary peaked? I'm considering a downgrade, possibly to Luke Brooks. The answer that Guardsy would give is, yeah, Dom, do it. Do it. Do it. Just do it. Fuck me. Just do it. So, that's my answer too, Dom. Don't be an idiot. All right, Goody. If you have Pappy and minimal trades, would you hold and hope? And I think it is a big hope. He looks injured. He doesn't look good. Or get Ponga, or move a centre wing down. I can't really afford anyone else other than Ponga. So Ponga's about his max ceiling. The only other person I thought of was Charles Nicol Klokstad. Looked all right.
No, plus, I think the answer is Ponga.
Yeah, but the answer is Ponga. If you can go Pappy to Ponga in one trade, I'd absolutely do that. Even though Ponga didn't look amazing in the halves at the Knights, is a concern of what the ball's going to look like at the back.
Yeah, they're not going to play Penrith every week.
That was my next point. So I think Ponga's got a good run home. I think he'll outscore Pappy by a long way for the run home. I think Pappy's a guy that if you hear he's had a good off-season, you're going to pick him up for about 400,000.
Yeah.
Because seriously, he's scoring very poorly. And yeah, we'll look towards next year for those of us sitting well outside the top 1,000 and hope that we can pick up a few fallen guns in that Ryan Papenhuyzen mould. But this year, get out.
Yeah.
Get out, and if you can get the Ponga,
well, he is injured. You said he looked injured. He is injured. Yeah. I think he's getting injections into his foot just to get on the field. So yeah,
so that's definitely one I'd do. So I
definitely wouldn't be surprised if he gets a spell in the next week or two either.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So there's big chat that a lot of them won't travel to North Queensland.
Mm.
So we'll see how that goes. Where are we up to? Adam. Adam says he's playing head-to-head finals. I wish Dan was here because Dan loves a head-to-head final. Head-to-head finals this week. My opponent has Jaden Campbell and Tarpane. I can cancel one of them out by bringing one in. Who do I get? Who do you get, Mark? Jaden Campbell or Joe Tarpane?
If it was just for this week, I would definitely be going Jaden Campbell. Match up against the depleted Sharks.
Mm. 44 last week in a pretty heavy score.
Yeah, I know that. But I think Tarpane is definitely not going to get 150.
Well, a bit, yeah. I mean,
geez, Campbell could.
It could be a cold day in Canberra, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No. So I think if you want to cover one of them, who's most likely to get a huge score? Well, it'd be Jaden Campbell, wouldn't it?
So I think Tarpane, if you've got a Willison, the difference might be 30 points.
Yeah.
If you've got Jaden Campbell and someone else, the difference could be 100 points.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think I'd be bringing in Jaden Campbell. Your team looks sexier with Jaden Campbell in it too than it does with Tarpane for sure. I'd be more excited to be cheering on Jaden Campbell, hoping the little bastard can get through the line, kick 7 from 7, 8 from 8, something like that.
Well, he hit the post a few times on the weekend. I was cursing him.
Should be worth double. Josh, next question, short and sweet. Drinky or KP?
KP.
Yeah, Drinky. Drinky came off that 135 last week.
Playing... They've got a bye coming up. That's the big thing for me. Knights are playing the Tigers.
At home.
I mean, jeez. Set up for him, isn't it?
And the Knights still have a chance to make the finals. There's still a mathematical chance. They're one of those teams in the mix with that mathematical chance. So I think it's now or never for KP. I think they'll do a bit of work. They do play their best footy at home. They're a team that will get, on a Sunday arvo, probably 25,000 people there screaming at them. So I'd be going KP, even though Drinky is a bit tempting because he's very low ownership. So, all right, Simo says, is Nicara a sell now with Trindle and Hines out? Really interesting one. I'm not a Nicara owner. I don't think you are either. I think Guardsy was. I don't know if he still is. So we've had a bit of a look around at what you can buy for Nicara, because I do worry for Nicara with Hines and Trindle out. more so with Hines, not as much with Trindle, but I think it's going to be a pretty tough slog for anyone in the outside backs to get a lot of quality ball in attacking opportunity for the Sharks, particularly this week. I think if they're going to win, it's going to be a win through the middle. And Nicara seems to do his best work out wide because he's a wide running back row. He runs great lines and he needs that ball playing half to go to the line and really open it up for him. So Nicara is 681,000. He's got 133 break-even. So you'd say if you're going to sell, you've got to sell this week for the value, don't you? You don't want to...
Yeah, I think he's...
On the way
down. Saying he's dropping 50-odd thousand this week, so...
And that's if he scores...
I think he's...
About 80 or something.
Yeah.
They project him to score that with. If he scores 40, he's in a world of hurt. Angus on the buy, 699. If you've got the numbers, you could probably do it, but I don't know many people that would have the numbers, so I'd probably be looking elsewhere. And the two names I've come up with, Olakau'atu, 650, so you could bank 30,000. The Seagulls have got a pretty good run coming up. Olakau'atu's surely going to have a point to prove. He's going to be a fresh. Like, he's had a 2 to 3 week freshen up, 3 weeks? 3 week freshen up since Origin?
Yeah, with the bye as
with
well.
With the bye as well. So, did they have the bye going into Origin as well?
No, after. No, I don't think so.
No, they played round 19?
I can't remember.
Because if he didn't play round 19, he hasn't played.
Maybe he didn't.
He hasn't played 20, 21 or 22, so he's effectively had a month away from football to get rid of the niggles and get bloody fired up, ready to go. At 650K, he'd be the guy I'd be targeting. I think a lot of people got off him once they realised he wasn't going to play three in a row. The other option is Kalomatangi, but I just don't love picking Bunnies players. They've got a pretty tough run home, I'm pretty sure. He's up to 695,000. He shared minutes on the weekend, which is a little bit of a concern. So I think your man is Olakau'atu. If you want to get off Nicara and you don't own Olakau'atu, I'd go there. If you can trade, if you don't have Crichton and you can cover this week, I'd probably do it this week because it's going to be too expensive to do next week because Nicara could be down as low as 600 and you're going to have to find 100,000 instead of 20,000. So yeah, I think that's the way I'd be looking at that. Next question from Peter. Haas to who? 4 trades left, no cash in the bank. Tough one, isn't it? Because Haas lost that bit of extra money and it sort of put him out of... You can't just go to Tarpane, you can't go to Barnett, not even close to Barnett.
No.
And there's not... like you, so the names that you've come up with, Mark...
Yeah, so just having a look through who's available, someone like Ruben Cotter or Samuela Fainu, they also give you that dual position flexibility. I think you mentioned earlier that Cotter is a reasonable chance of getting a score this week.
The Cowboys, he's had a freshen up as well.
Yeah, the Cowboys are pushing in there in that, well, they're in the top eight, probably trying to push to get a home final and those sorts of things. So they're also...
they've got a bye coming up. That's the only negative.
Yeah, they do. But he will play big minutes pretty much every week. Taumalolo's out, so they need to shore up that middle, and I expect he will he'll play really big minutes this week. Fainu, he's not going to score 100. What did he get? 112. He's not going to score 112 every week, but he's been pretty consistent in that 50 to 60 sort of range, hasn't he? So those couple also, as I said, get you that dual position flexibility that later on you might get a injury in the back row that you can just sort of, or something we can just sort of move, shuffle the deck chairs around.
I'll show you the importance of dual position when I do the Wags trade later.
Fair enough.
Because it really is pretty crucial at this time of year.
Yeah, the only other one who sprung to mind for me was Lindsay Smith from the Panthers with Fisher Harris out. Well, I think they said anywhere up to a month.
Yeah.
And
they've shown with Edwards, they're not going to rush.
I imagine, they will take all the time they need to get him back. So Smith's been playing some pretty big minutes again. He usually does off the bench play decent sort of minutes. So he's one. He's around that 500. So again, it gives you 100 and a little bit in cash that you can make and spend elsewhere. I think he had a handful of trades left, so that can free up some cash somewhere else
Four trades.
For you to...
And it's not Peter...
to use somewhere else. So they're probably the ones I'd look at. Otherwise, you just... I just don't think there's anyone who you'd be happy to bring into your team, really.
I mean, the only other people that I can think you can bring in are the other Broncos players. They have a bye coming up too, don't they? But
yep.
Corey Jensen or Xavier Willison must get a little uptick in time, I think, particularly with that bench. Tristan Saylor sitting on that bench doesn't fill me with a great deal of hope that they're going to be heavy. I don't know what Pat Carrigan's worth, but he's only available in the second row, I think. So if you've got some...
He'll just play 80 minutes.
He'll have to play 80 minutes through that area. So, yeah. Well, that's the questions. A few questions. Hopefully we've helped, and lots of similar questions. I didn't respond to all the KP questions because there was about 1,000.
They're all probably disappointed that it's just a couple of bums ticking around the 10,000 mark Guardsy in the top 1,000.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Handing the advice about.
Look, my advice this year's been really good. I just haven't taken any of it. I've steered some people into some pretty good ones. They've sent me messages during the week and said, I hope you got on. I'm like, nope. But anyway, we're going to talk trades now, Mark. I've written trades or lack of. I'm down to 4. I still have a boost. My plan this week after a shit show last week is to use the boost and get right down. And get amongst. I'm going to use the Guardsy theory of trading.
Sensational.
And get down to 1.
He always says it's more fun when you don't have any.
Well, I'm about to find out. I've never done this before, this far out, but I'm going to get down to 1. And if we have a game, if we have a round like last week where the injuries hit early, I'm really, really nervous. So I'm boosting.
Boosting.
Yeah, because what have I got to lose?
Just your sanity.
My sanity. Payne Haas, gone. Ryan Pappenhausen, gone. Combined last week for 29 points. Thanks for that, Payne Haas, Ryan Pappenhausen, and Ronaldo. So the three blokes I'm trading combined for 29 points last week because poor old Ronaldo didn't get on the field. And I'm bringing in McLean. I've seen enough. I think he's going to hold that spot. He looks pretty handy. Yes, I'm not getting him as cheap as I could have, but I did want to have a bit of a look at him. He looks pretty handy, and I think... against the Eels this week. He's a play.
Yeah.
I'm buying him and I'm playing him. So he's coming in. Ponga's coming in for all the reasons we talked about during the questions and the 44,000 others that we didn't. And I'm going a flyer. He's my man in the back end of the season. When I came inside the top 200, he was my man. He was my only halfback because I think there was some sort of carnage that happened. DCE. The long neck Queensland. I won't keep going.
You'll have to go and have a really long shower tonight.
Yeah, I feel dirty, but I think just looking at Olakau'atu back, Garrick named, Turbo named, their draw, I see something in that DCE trade where I think he can be really, really good for me and score some big scores. So I'm just going for it. All out. One trade left just to put out. Nothing really. I'm trying to fight a bushfire with a garden hose. So what does it matter? 10,000th, 20,000th. If you ask Dom, I'll have to do an application for the Playing for Sheep Stations League anyway. And I probably deserve that this year. So what are you doing for trades?
So 2 trades for me.
How many
this
do
week.
You have?
I have 6 before we start the week.
Wow.
So I'll have 4 left.
I'll say what Dan would say. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so Haas is out for me again, like you. What'd we get? 11 minutes of Supercoach output. At least his points per minute were positive. So,
oh, do you know when they said in the start of the game, oh, he had a little niggle, had to prove his fitness in the warm-up. I thought, oh, that's all right. He's on 8, like he was on 15 after 7 minutes. And I'm like, that's pretty good. I'm actually, he's right. If he gets his 40 minutes, he'll probably get 70 or 80. Let's get through this week and we'll reassess.
Yeah.
Bonk.
Anyway, so I'm making the Haas to Tarpane trade. And my second trade, I am trading out Cody Walker. I think I mentioned in the team list. He's an old man with an old man injury in the calves. That just doesn't fill me with any sort of confidence. Cody Walker will be going out and Kalyn Ponga coming in to my team.
Some of these players that we're bringing in are a little risky, aren't they? Like Kalyn Ponga, he's been out for a stretch of the season with a foot injury.
Yep.
So, you know, I think it's a risk. The same as people that have got turbo.
Yeah.
You know, anything can happen. All right, Wags.
Wags. Gee whiz.
Alison gave everyone except for one bloke a spanking last
week. Yeah, she had a real...
But it wasn't you.
It wasn't me. She had a real flyer last weekend. She scored 1,331 points. So she moved up over 2,000 spots into the top 10,000. 8,520 seconds.
Are you at risk of your wife beating you as well?
She's breathing well and truly down my neck, about tick over about 1,500 spots behind me. Not a lot of points, I wouldn't have thought. I haven't looked at that. But anyway, she's chasing me down. She wisely, last week, saw that I was trading Payne Haas in and she didn't want to borrow that. So she bought Joey Tarponet in last week. So she had the last laugh there. What else? She's had Harry Grant for a while, so she's been the beneficiary of... He's turned up two or three times in the last few weeks, so she's been the beneficiary of him. Connor Watson back to a bit of form last week.
Mitchell Barnett.
She's had Barnett for a number of weeks now, so she has surged in the...
She was about 20,000 going into Origin.
Yeah, about 22 or 23,000. So she's made up a stack of spots. But she does agree with me this week. She's watched me hobble around with calf injuries and she's gone, well, we know that ends badly for old people. So she's getting rid of Cody Walker and she is bringing Kalen Ponga in as well. She toyed with the idea of Tom Trbojevic, but...
Okay, so she got a bit of money too.
She's got a bit of money in the bank. Okay. So she's still... got a little bit of... it doesn't cost a lot, that Cody Walker to...
No, Ponga's only 650 Ponga, yeah. or 660.
But she's got a bit of a... little bit war of chest. A war chest. Okay. And she's still got three trades left after this week as well.
Okay, so she could strike at the end.
So she could...
Well, I won't be beating her. I won't be beating my wife. I won't be beating you. I won't be beating Cardsy. It's just not looking good for me this year. I think Dom with six trades is highly likely to jump over the top of me. The only one I know I'm going to beat is Kev. I'm pretty happy with that one. So Kev and I have got a bit of a season review. We're going to come up with a game plan for him for next year and we're going to put it all down. So Mary's team, felt by a gag eye, 1077. So I looked at her team and I couldn't understand how it was so poor, but she had Dylan Walker, she had... Payne Haas. She had quite a few bad luck stories. Dom Young. She's got quite a few bad luck stories from last week. She only dropped about 300 spots to 2,309, maybe 400 spots. So still in the top percentages and still there or thereabouts. And she's going to sell Payne Haas this week. So the fighter put out is Payne Haas. She's still got five trades, I think. So she's only making one trade this week. And she's bringing in Harry Grant via Jules. And we talked about the benefit of having Jules.
Mm.
So how she's doing that is she's selling Payne Haas, moving Miles Martin up into front row, moving Connor Watson from hooker down to second row and bringing in Harry Grant. So it can be done. And it could have been any iteration. I'm pretty sure with the Jules that she has, because she's still got Burbo as well. Mm. And I think she's got flexibility in her halves as well to go half back to 5'8". So I'm almost positive that she could have just about gone any position for Payne Haas, which shows the benefit of that dual flexibility. Captains and vice-captains. It's been pretty simple the last couple of weeks, really. Take a flyer on a VC and Captain Cleary.
Yeah.
You looped last week with success.
Yeah.
What's your strategy this week, though? Because Cleary plays a bit earlier. It's been so good to have Cleary at a 2 o'clock game on a Sunday. Seriously, yeah, dry footy. The weather's been kind. It's just been money for GM almost. It was as close to Joey Johns as you could imagine. That try with 10 minutes
possibly,
to go.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Like it's
stepping through traffic.
How many times did you see Joey do that for the night? So we're down by a few.
Yeah.
Or need a bit of inspiration and he just takes the ball one off and does a hit up effectively and just carries people over with a little bit of footwork. So that was ominous. I think ominous for the four-peat.
Yep.
Captains and vice captains. Let's get back onto the
back on track. Well, he does feature, but he's my vice captain this week, Nathan Cleary, on Friday night. Happy to have a look. I think he'll have a
field day
against Parramatta, and
as long as he doesn't put Dylan Brown on his head again.
Yeah. And there's a very good chance that that I'll loop again this week, although Joey Lussick could again cruel that, but depends how Cleary goes. But VC Nathan Cleary, and I'm going to put the captain on the man. I'm bringing in Kalen Ponga up against the Tigers at home in Newcastle. They have to win. I just think he will step up and score big.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking the same thing. My VC nightmare is I've only got one spare player, and that's Samuel Hughes. So it's almost
30-odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it's effectively a free cracker.
And especially with their injuries.
So I'm going to vice-captain Cleary because I think it's a way to get ahead. I think a lot of people will just still put straight C on him.
Yeah.
And I do think it's an opportunity to get ahead. The game that I'm looking to target, I don't mind Val against the Broncos at 5:30 up at Queensland. I'm not sure which side...
Is he going up against Stags or Mariner?
If he's up against Stags, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
If he's up against Mariner's side, I can actually... I don't think he is, though, because he plays left and I think Stags is on the right.
Yeah.
So that's the unfortunate thing. I think that's why I ruled that one out. But I think I'm like you. I think I'm going to go to the last game, 4:05, Newcastle. I'll have a check of the weather, because if there's a bit of weather around...
It's meant to be a bit of rain on Sunday,
but... I'm probably not loving that, but I think that's where to go. Vice-captain Cleary, try and get ahead. If he has somehow has a 80-point game, you can then try and find...
He might get an early shower.
He might get an early shower, yeah. They might be mercy rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think you can't go too far wrong with Ponga in that game against the Knights.
I don't even mind if it's a bit wet.
Yeah.
The Tigers are bad. Nothing to play for.
Yeah, but they weren't too bad. Maybe the Tigers just named 12.
Yeah, but can they...
Maybe they just named 12.
Need to go to 12. Put in that sort of effort 2 weeks in a row. That's been their problem.
Maybe if they went to 11, they'd be even better. Like, who knows? They were the better football team when... Like, if you had to look at who was the better football team out of those two when Olam got sent off, you would be a very poor judge of rugby league if you said the Cowboys were the better team after that. So, Mark, Dan stepped in last week off the bench. Kev has given me...
I know. I've got it written down here.
Oh, have you got the spray?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, my God. Did he give it to Dan and us? He's a coward. He wouldn't do it to Dan. He just did it behind his back.
Yeah, buckle in, Dan, because...
I hope you're still listening, Dan, because...
It's about to be a bumpy ride, let me tell you. So after being unavailable last week, Dan, he kept up the standards. I'll say that for him. He kept up the standards of the multi and went 0-3. It's not like he had much to follow, but despite... What happened the previous 21 weeks before last week, Kev decided that he was very unhappy with Dan's efforts last week, and he passed on the following message, and I quote, "Dan from the bench was rubbish, couldn't hit a cow in the guts with a shovel, stick to singing." He did then qualify it with, but he's still a champion. So he's tried to redeem himself there, but he's... Don't mind that. He sunk the slipper in while you're down there, Dan. I mean, he hasn't missed anyway. It's a cutthroat world, this multi.
I do like this one. He says, but also make a note that the Knights are in front of the Broncos, even with the equivalent of Sean Rudder's son in the halves. If anyone knows, there's a little story going around about myself and Sean Rudder at a certain Newcastle establishment that I may have asked to see his hands one day and said, just as I thought, butter. Didn't go down very well. Kev may or may not have had to talk my way out of that. And I think he's referring to Phoenix Crossland as the equivalent. Or maybe he's talking about Hastings or Tyson Gamble.
The only problem is that Tyson Gamble's no Andrew Johns, is he?
No, Tyson Gamble took some very ordinary... options at the end of that game where slightly better execution and the Knights were a real chance.
Yeah.
Anyway,
onto the multi this week. So, Kev, you'll get your chance to sink the boot into me. come Sunday evening. But this week on the multi, anytime try scorers, we'll stick with the formula. McLean, you're not going to be happy, but I think McLean will get a try up against Parramatta on Friday.
Who's not going to be happy?
You.
Why?
Well, you bring him in. Well, it's Matt Traynor that doesn't like it, isn't it?
No.
Traynor's the one who doesn't like that. Then down to the nation's capital, I've got Ruben Garrick to get a try against the Canberra Raiders.
Will he be awake long enough?
I hope so. And then we're going up to the Dolphins and the Warriors game. I think, really, he played fullback a couple of weeks ago and they look dangerous. They're just going to get Roger to have asked to check the ball. The Dolphins have leaked a few points in recent weeks. I think his footwork can get Roger across the stripe.
Who's he going to go up? Is he going up against
Herbie? I hope it's Avarillo.
Or is it Avarillo? He played... Which centre did he play?
He'll play on the left.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
I'd probably check that out because I think if it's Avarillo... it doesn't matter. I'm far more confident if it's Avarillo than I am if it's Herbie.
Get in. Anyway, those three will... when they cross the trial line, pay $18.94 on Sportsbet. When I put that on this afternoon, pretty good value.
Yeah.
$22.04 you can get with a boost. Gamble responsibly. I've had an all up and I've had any two of the three to get a try. Okay. So,
which is a bet that Kev recommended.
Yeah.
When you were doing the meatloaf impersonation of
two out of three.
So. All right, Mark. Thanks for joining me tonight. Just the two of us dribbling on. 10,000th around that spot. So take everything with a grain of salt. There's no disclaimer. If you do it, bad luck.
No one reads disclaimers anyway.
In the words of my uncle, well, that's all there is today, chaps. Thanks for that.